see that video also, it's also available. Vipul Prabhu can share that with you on WhatsApp group, which you will be connected through. So this program is being conducted by Leaders Voice. Voice, we are a non-government organization who are working for education, rekindling wisdom and love for the heart. And the primary purpose of this group is to get all these youngsters together and discuss some of the topics and also share our thoughts about those topics. Okay. Today we have His Grace Radhesham Prabhu, who will be your debate evaluator. His Grace, I will just like to briefly introduce him. His Grace Radhesham Prabhu is from IIT Mumbai and has been doing youth programs for last 25 years. He has been to US and has also given a lot of lectures in universities like University of Pennsylvania, Maryland, and Stanford. Other than this, he has also been doing these programs in IITs and NITs. He's a president of ISKCON Pune, and he lives in NVCC, which is ISKCON Temple in Katraj Kondwa. And I would highly recommend you all going there, because one of the beautiful temples we have in Pune. And with this, let's go to the program details, how we'll be conducting this. Please feel free to ask me questions. If you have any questions, feel free. Okay. So this debate, we typically do 3 minutes rounds first. Okay. There will be someone sitting here who will be telling you at first 2 minutes, we'll let you know that. So you'll be getting 3 minutes. When you start, you'll be getting 3 minutes. You'll be putting your thoughts in 3 minutes. Okay. And when you complete 2 minutes, we'll be ringing first bell, and 2.5 minutes will be ringing second bell, and third will be ringing 3 bells at 3 minutes. Okay. So you are aware how much time you are left with. After you are done, we'll be giving chance to everyone to speak out. Then 1 minute you can respond back to your respond back on the things which are spoken by your other party. Okay, so 1 minute for that. Typically we say 1 minute, it generally goes to 1 and 1.5, 2 minutes, but please try to restrict yourself. I know there are a lot of thoughts you want to speak, but let's restrict it to 2 minutes. And please be respectful of your colleagues, because I know sometimes the temper can go really high, but please be respectful of your colleagues, and let's have a very healthy debate here with an open mind, because sometimes it's difficult to change our minds. When you have something in your mind, it's difficult to change that, right? So I was also thinking about this debate topic actually today, and I happened to read something very funny. So there was a story of a girl. This girl actually goes and asks her mother, "Mother, where I have come from, or where are we humans have come from?" So mother says, "We have been created by God, and we have all come from God." Okay, and the child is happy and goes back. And then goes to her father after a week and asks the same question, "Father, where have we come from?" So father says, "We have come from monkeys. We have evolved from monkeys to apes and apes to human being." And then she gets really confused. Of course, she will be right. She is getting two different answers from the parents. So she again goes back and goes to her mother and asks, "Father is saying we have come from monkeys, and you say we have come from God. Where are we actually come from?" So mother says, "I think father is talking about his side of family, and I am talking about my side of family." So this topic, very interesting topic. Every one of you have your own thoughts, and please feel free to share with this group. And also please be open also to accept new thoughts. Okay. With this, all the best to all the participants and all the audience. Also please support whichever group you are supporting, and we will also give you chance to share your thoughts. Okay. So let's get the participant on the chairs. So this side, Darwin theory, those who support Darwinism, this side. And the other group on the other side. You can. You can take this chair.
Hare
Krishna. Okay. Now the we still have you can sit. We still have open. If you made your mind and want to go in last minute, please feel free to go and sit here or there, whatever. You wanted to participate, right? Okay, your audience, no problem. Okay. This is an informal setting. As informal, we can keep it. Can you sit here? And in at least 3 minutes, 2 minutes, can you? Yes, 1 bell. 2 minutes, two and a half minutes, 2 bell, and 3 minutes, 3 bell. For other participants, okay.
Yeah, it will be good to have all the participants. We can start in 2 minutes. We are just calling one more participant. Yes, I can talk about it. Does anyone want to share their experience of last time? No?
Okay. So, last time we spoke about for marriage and against marriage. And some of the interesting topics which came out of, and some of the very good points, those who were against marriage made some very interesting point, and some of the people who were for marriage also made some good points. So one of the points which really came out is about for marriage was that we are not marrying to exploit, right? We are marrying to help each other, but the tendency is a lot of time that we end up exploitation, and that's why we are going away from the marriage system. So that's one of the points shared by the four participant. Another participant shared that marriage also provide us support, and it protects a lot of time from undoing. Because of the marriage, people are bound by society rules, and it's supportive and protective. Against people spoke about were they also made some good point that why there is a need of marriage. Animals also live their life. Oops. Okay. Okay. Okay, great. So you will have more time? 3 minutes? 5 minutes? Okay. 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 6. Okay. So we'll have 6 for 24 minutes. And then at the end of the program. Yes. Okay, we can start, Prabhuji?
Yes, yeah. It not like a PowerPoint slide or something, but you know, certain pictures and because I have my own notes. So, okay, so.
Ajay Aditya, yes. I get an indication at 3, right?
Yes, sir. Okay. 3 and a half.
Great. Should we start? Alright, so I want to quickly start by talking about the concept of selective breeding, because it's one of the most important things that Darwin used to come up with this idea of natural selection. And I just have a few pictures here to show what selective breeding is. Selective breeding is has been done by humans for as far as we can remember. We have been domesticating flowers, fruits, vegetables, and animals for centuries. Here you can see an example of a domestic banana kept right next to a wild banana. The one to the right is a wild banana, of course. It definitely does not look appetizing. What we did by selective breeding, that is, what humans did was take the seeds of wild banana, plant it, and then out of the different varieties of banana that you get, you take the ones with most favorable traits, in this case, the ones which are most tasty and nutritious, and then you select them for breeding, and then you keep doing this for generations until you end up with a domestic banana. We do this with a lot of things. For example, wild cow versus a beef cow. The wild cow definitely does not look something suitable for dairy or meat production. But through centuries of selective breeding, we have come to beef and dairy cows. Then here you have an example. To the left, you see a heat-resistant variety of cow. To the right, you see a more beef-giving variety of cow. You interpret them, and you get a new variety of cow which has both these properties. And then we have wild pig versus domestic pig. Of course, varieties of hundreds of breeds of dogs, which all came from gray wolves several generations or centuries ago. Darwin basically took this idea and he talked about it in his book, The Origin of Species, in 1859. Before the book, actually, he went on an expedition starting in 1831. He visited various places across the world and collected data from plant and animal species based on how they have adapted to the environment they live in. He took examples of a variety of birds called finches and variety of tortoises based on a group of islands called the Galapagos to in the Pacific Ocean. He saw that, for example, the beaks of those finches are very remarkably seemingly designed based on the kind of food that is abundant on in the ecosystem that they live. With this, he came up with the idea of natural selection. Selective breeding was what he called artificial selection, because humans are involved in the selective breeding process. Natural selection is where there is no human intervention, but nature selects certain positive traits and eliminates those which are not positive for the ecosystem that they live in. Of course, Darwin at that time had no idea about the mechanism by which the variations happened, which is the study called genetics. Genetics was developed by a different scientist called Gregor Mendel around the same time as Darwin, but ironically, they never knew about each other's work. So natural selection and genetics go hand in hand in understanding what evolution is all about. I just want to hit a few quick points about a certain line of evidence for Darwin's theory of evolution. Some of you may know, but others may be surprised to know that whales actually evolved from four-legged mammals. And we have different lines of independent study that prove this. For example, if we look at bone structures of human, dog, bird, and whale put together, we can see that the structures are strikingly similar. Although whales have flippers, their bones actually have fingers, suggesting that at one point in time, they were of some use. And the second line of evidence, completely independent, is embryology. You can see a small green circle over there indicating signs of hind legs coming up, but it gets weaned off later on. And the third line of study is intermediate fossils. You can see that you can find blowhole at the top of a whale and nostrils at the end of a snout of a mammal, and we have found transitional fossils where the nostril is somewhere in between. So these are like three independent lines of evidence which show us something about this. Then quickly to talk about the origin of life, the idea of primordial soup was conceived by a Russian biochemist called Oparin. In 1950s was experiment called the Miller-Urey experiment was conducted to mimic the conditions of ancient Earth, where it had abundant simple molecules like methane, hydrogen and ammonia. They, under laboratory conditions, demonstrated that complex life-like molecules could be created from these molecules, which gave to the idea of chemical evolution, which means life could evolve from non-life based on complex chemistry. Thank you.
Hello.
I will start with a quote from Bhagavad Gita, chapter 2, verse 39. Esha te bhihita sankhe buddhi yoge tvimam shrunu. Buddhya yukto yatha partha karma bandham prahasyasi. Which has a meaning that I have explained to Sankhya Yoga. I explained to you in Sankhya Yoga, that is Krishna explained to Arjuna in Sankhya Yoga, the analytical knowledge, the nature of the soul. Now listen, O Parth, as I reveal Buddhi Yoga or the yoga of intellect, when you work with such understanding, you will be freed from the bondage of the karma. So here, the God is himself giving the knowledge between right and wrong. By this way, he is creating the sense of what is correct and what is incorrect in the mind of the humans. So, has he done created the intellect of the human being? About the faith system of people. So, we have people from various religions. They have different faith systems. Like, I am Hindu, I will believe like that Brahma has created the universe, Vishnu is Palan Karta, and Lord Shiva will give us incarnation, that is moksha, mukti. So thus other religions, they have their own belief systems, their faith systems, that they will believe that other their God has created this universe. About atheist, they actually don't believe in this system, to be really honest. So one of the Quran quotes say that before reaching to this state of excellence, man was nothing. He lived a life that of a single cell of living organisms, which gradually evolved into man. Like monkeys, even that he did not have sign of presently existing physical or psychological excellence of the man. So I remember one of the stories my science teacher told me, that a scientist explained that the life has started from water. So for that, she explained that the amino acid, which is we consider as the base of the life, was created somehow in the oceans with different mixture of atmospheric components. So likewise, she explained us, but still that was not really convincing. The sufficient atmosphere was made by the by the surroundings. The life sustainable things were made, but how the life entered at that physical space, how life took place in that physical state space, is still unknown. Previously, if we consider our rishis, they were never used to think like what they see. They actually used to meditate, go into such a deep state that they feel like what sort of things are happening to the surroundings. They used to create them in their own mind through meditation. They were not physically present in the past, present or future, but they used to create that space. So from their experiential, it's not just information, it is knowledge. What they have obtained is a knowledge. So from that knowledge, they are telling us, the rishis are telling us, that how life came into existence. Whereas the Darwin's theory is just a theory, it is not a law. We cannot consider it as experiential knowledge. What we have experienced is knowledge, basically. So hence, Darwin's theory, in my point of view, is just a theory. It cannot be considered as law. Thank you.
Hello. Mention is talking.
Hi everyone, my name is Shreyash and I'll be going for all living beings evolved from primordial soup. So as everyone knows, in 1959 there was an experiment called the Mille-Urey experiment, in which what happened was the scientists kept a bowl of water and similar conditions like nitrogen, a high amount of nitrogen in the atmosphere was kept in that particular bowl, and you have a lot of electricity going through. So by the end of say 15 cycles, you can find certain basic amino acids being created there. So it is basically known that from a non-living things you can find components of basic things which will form living things. So amino acids, when in that particular experiment, when created, can be further evolved, and you can find a layer of protein that can happen. So initially, somewhere around 4.54 billion years ago, when Earth was created, within 0.14 billion years, you find a lot of water forming. After water formation, you find a lot of amino acids being created at that point. And after a particular point, you find self-evolving life just started off. So there are two ways we can explain that. One is panspermia, where life came from some other planet and it started evolving here once it came from somewhere else, or it can evolve from that particular point. So we have single cells organisms initially, then you have which are called prokaryotes, then later they evolve to eukaryotes, which is cells with a cell membrane and a nucleus inside. So everyone knows that mitochondria is the powerhouse of the cell. So mitochondria initially was a different cell which was engulfed by some other cell, and it is mitochondria that creates the energy, and it is the other cell that helps sustain that. So the food is given by the other part of the cell, and mitochondria creates energy out of it. So that happened at that level. So after that, we have multicellular bodies coming up. So the point here being is, did man evolve from branches to benches? So man, initially we don't know that monkeys were there. It evolved from a branch of mammals. So these monkeys, how did they eventually become man? That is a question, right? So first of all, man is one amongst many. There are many species that initially were after man. Homo. So Homo is a kind of a species. So there were Homo Neanderthal, Homo habilis, Homo erectus. All of these different species were coexisting at one point. Some were older, some were newer. At the same time, humans were also competing with Neanderthals at one point, but someone won. Someone took all the resources over, and it is that we survived. So us as humans remain the only species among our particular branch that are still living. So I feel that humans did evolve from monkeys, but in a way that 50,000 years ago we didn't even have this particular gene in us which helped us speak. The evolution of speaking with other people, it came from mutation. The Mendelian theory talked about how Mendel was a particular person who talked about how selectively we can go from one stage to another, how the genes are passed. So mutation is the one theory he left out. Mutation is how we evolved this variation in the first place. So with this, I'll conclude that man did evolve from apes, but there's a way in which you have to understand it. So thank you.
So human exists in four primary forms: physical, emotional, social, and spiritual. While physical existence is the starting point, it is the other three forms of existence which differentiates a human from other forms of life. We've been provided abilities to create society, emote our feelings, and grow out of this physical form with spirituality. Our physical existence is a gift from nature, where millions of other physical forms exist. We've always been curious about our start. While all religions prescribe that there were human forms in some or the other form, started the journey of four yogas. Science have their own opinion. This majorly derives from Darwin's theory, which states humans originated from apes. You can laugh at this, as this was a joke. Literally, this is how I see it. Science studies human evolution as per paleoanthropology, which is a sub-science of anthropology, which inculcates into human culture, society, and biology. So science also believes existence is also just a sub-part of cultural or social part. Anyways, if humans have evolved from apes, then are we just glorified domesticated apes? Domestication that was initiated and achieved by humans themselves. One of the main arguments of the theory of natural selection is that physically we are quite close to apes. But very strangely, there is no in-between stage. Either there are animals, which includes monkeys, chimpanzees, apes, or directly humans. All of these animals are more like animals, and none of them is like evolved, with maybe a few exceptions to chimpanzees, some show some skills to recognize. Moment you go away from the physical aspect, in all the other aspects of emotional, social or spiritual aspect, there is no similarity. While humans have the power of mind, which gave them the feelings of love, happiness, sadness, jealousy, there is no personality trait available in animals we're supposed to evolve from. Even if we go by the theory by any stretch of imagination is the same theory and not fact. Darwin suggested that traits of individual better suited to the environment are preserved and rest are left behind. It does not suggest which are the left behind traits. Going by this argument, why we have still apes left? Either they should have evolved into humans or should have become extinct. One of the main difference and similarity is the ability to use four limbs to walk. It is suggested that dry weather would have forced apes to come down from trees and started walking two legs. Going by the research done as latest as in 2009, Australopithecus was living 4.4 million years ago in Ethiopia, where the place was quite damp and wooded. If our focus is only on physicality, yes, we must say that Darwin and his theory must stay. Of course, this is not how our creator wanted us to be. We're creature of supreme power, which was done for a purpose, and we must work to fulfill the purpose, make it a better place to live for the next generation, evolved or not. Thank you.
I think we have a very interesting arguments put by each of the groups. Now we'll just give you 2 minutes to refute whatever your other party has said, and then we'll also go to the audience and feel free to share your thoughts about whatever you have heard. If there is anything you want to refute of any of the groups, feel free to do that. Okay, so let's start with this group. 2 minutes for refuting or whatever you want to add to your support, and then we'll go on the other side. We'll again do the alternate one. So let's start with the ones who ended. We ended with. So let's start with you and then likewise. Okay.
My fellow contestant here talked about how humans evolving from apes and only physicality. But I feel, it may not start off with the books. Even in the books, we have the 10 avatars of Vishnu. It starts off with Matsya, the lowest amount, the lowest form. He may be the initial god, and he may know everything. But he, because the kind of beings that are around him, he starts off with being a fish. There's Matsya, then Kuruma, then we go up to all the way up to Buddha, or you can say Krishna, one step before that. So there's still the growing complexity of the mind coming into play here. Going away from the Puranas or going away from the books, you can say. She talked, basically the contestant there talked about especially talked about humans just evolving from apes, but we had parallels going on. We had the 50,000 years ago we started speaking. We are basically behaving like a hive mind. It is not a single mind here. I can talk with you, I can talk with everyone using the internet. We are collectively using our intelligence here. The love that she talked about for living things, it, you can see the love even in the cow, for her kid. So love is there in every animal. Whales can talk with other whales using their sound. Elephants can talk with each other using the infrasound that they create out of the trunk. So complexity is everywhere, but you have to understand that we are not unique. There is living thing everywhere, and it does not necessarily mean that God created us. So thank you.
Okay, so yeah, you talked about mother cow having love for her baby. So why have we evolved only from apes? Like Darwin's theory states that we came from apes, right? So why haven't we not come from cows? Or what about the other creatures? Yeah, every creature has a particular love for its own species. But why are we just selectively come from apes?
Can I refute? Okay, I can show you the pictures where like each bone of every part of our body is correlated with the ape. We can even show that the ape does not have a tail. I do not have a tail. I have the primordial tail there. I can show you pictures step by step. But why is what kind of a question is like, why should I evolve directly from a cow? The cow has, it's basically an algate. The foot that it has is basically one toe that is being left over from all the other toes that it had. So it evolved from maybe we have a common ancestor. Every living being has a common ancestor. We have evolved from the mammalia category. So we are all mammals. We create milk, right? Even it creates a milk, I create milk. So we are common one way or the other, but I've evolved from the apes branch of the entire branch of living history that we create, we have. So yeah,
you want to add anything?
Basically the different branches, the different nodes we are talking about. So why just we evolved from apes and not other animals can evolve, like the cow, the mammals, like जे पशु आहेत त्या पशूंची का पुढे त्यांची ब्रांच गेली नाही, हा एक मुद्दा आहे. दिस इज वन पॉइंट. अँड अदर पॉइंट इज दॅट द इमोशनल डेव्हलपमेंट इज सो मच वास्ट, सो मच डिफरंट, व्हेरी व्हेरी दॅट कोई नो थेरी ऑर नो नथिंग इज करंटली अवेलेबल विच कॅन शो दिस मच चेंजेस विच आर सीन इन द प्रेझेंट humans and you're saying pro-eutectic
prokaryotic,
yeah. So those animals.
Okay.
And one more point I need to add.
Let's change. Let's not move away from our format. So our format is we will all talk 2 minutes, refute our whatever charges. We'll see if we get time.
We can have a cross question, Ramon.
Yes, you can ask, but let's finish. Just put your thoughts. I think I get your thoughts. Do you want to add anything to your
thoughts? How is it changing? Who is the one who is changing this? Who is one who is evolving this? What is the power which is evolving this behind it?
I can
do it.
And then maybe he can.
All right, so first of all, I just want to hit this quick point that our friend here brought up, which is evolution is just a theory. This is one of the most common arguments from a creationist handbook. And the problem here is we are using theory in the wrong sense. When I say, okay, I'll just take an example from my work. You know, my code is not working. I have a theory why this is not working. When I say that, I mean I have a hunch, I have a guess. When scientists say theory, that's not what they mean. I'll read you a few definitions of what theory is in the scientific sense. A scheme or system of ideas or statements held as an explanation or account of a group of facts or phenomena. Another way to see theory is a hypothesis that has been confirmed or established by observation or experiment and is propounded or accepted as accounting for the known facts. Does this sound anything like a guess or a speculation? I don't think so. So the problem here is the wrong usage of the word theory. There are words have different usages. We have to look at which correct usage you use in which context. So he repeatedly talked about humans evolving from apes and why humans did not evolve from cows. To me, that's like asking him why an apple is not an orange. An apple is an apple because it is so. And we evolved from apes because we have evidence to show that we evolved from apes. I just showed you examples of how we know whales evolved from four-legged land mammals. We are talking about completely independent, independent branches of study which show that whales evolved from land mammals. So is the case with humans evolved from ape-like ancestors. We cannot actually say apes, we should say ape-like ancestors. Is my time up? Okay. In between she mentioned science has an opinion that humans evolved from apes. I want to make a correction here. Scientists have opinions. I don't think science has opinions. Science has facts. But facts have to start at some point in time, and that is what opinions are all about. Opinions change into hypotheses. There is an entire process of scientific research over here. We start with a question, then we do research, collect data, then we form a hypothesis, we test it, we arrive at a conclusion, and then we report it so that our colleagues can repeat those experiments and see if they can come at the same result. If they don't do it, they are going to come and refute you. Science is all about refuting each other's work and not about, it's not an echo chamber where everybody agrees to each other. And that is what makes science so awesome and takes us, propels us forward, you know, in fields of science and technology.
So yeah, physically we are quite similar to apes, I accept that. But how can you justify the emotional differences that we have? Emotionally we are quite different from apes.
I would justify it in the same way that how we are anatomically different, how our bone structures are different.
There are similarities between us, right?
Yeah, similarity does not mean exactly the same thing, right?
Yeah, but emotionally we are very, very different, right? How do you justify, how does science justify emotional differences between us?
As I said, emotional evolution is something that goes hand in hand with physical evolution. And it's, how would you even put emotional evolution on a scale? I mean, we are humans, we have certain kinds of emotions that other animals don't have, so we consider the emotions that we have more valuable than those that they have. If a bunch of apes were here talking about evolution, they would probably put their emotional level higher than that of humans. So there is no reason to put these emotions on a scale. We are humans, we are human centric, so we consider our emotions more valuable than that of animals. That's it.
The only one question I had was, how is this evolution? With what energy it is going up? It is going in its direction, which we can see.
Which direction is it going as such, right? Okay.
As we see, the direction which we are seeing. So how is it? How did it train?
Okay. How does it
what
go?
Energy, how did it happen? Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
With what energy? I want the base.
Okay. You do know about cancers and mutation and stuff, right? So basis of cancer is some particular particle from space, which is basically a photon, maybe ultraviolet, maybe gamma radiation, comes in and changes our DNA. For most of the time, our DNA is protected by many protective mechanisms. But if that protective mechanism fails, we get cancer. So that particular cell, you know, had some mechanistic failure and it evolved, and not evolved, but it basically started mutating. So similarly, what happens is, in our sperm cells, once a particular characteristic gets added, and we have variations, even right now, I do not look like you. So there is variation in our characteristics. So the variation starts from mutation. So once we have variation, we have some certain gene pool we are working on. So maybe if this is a gene pool, I marry someone in this particular gene pool, and I create more organisms as my kids, then what is necessary? Some may die, some live on. So those that live on are basically the ones who reproduce more. And among, say, if you reproduce, I reproduce, and your genes are not suitable for the environment. Basically, you're not the best for the environment that is there at that particular moment. So it is wetter. Maybe you do not, stay good or stay at your peak physicality in wet conditions. You may not create the same amount of offsprings as I do. I may be more suited for wet conditions. So I'm the one who creates more offspring. You will be the one who will be crowded out. My offspring will be the ones who will live on. So only those characteristics which are suitable for that particular environment live on. And even in that case, you basically started, right? How evolution, the pace of evolution, goes up, the direction of evolution, or the rate at which we are evolving. It has been shown that whenever there is more the sun cycle, there's a basic sun cycle in which you have sunspots coming in and going off. So whenever the radiation cycle is more, we have a more amount of variation in humans and even in animals. So whichever variation is perfectly best for the environment, those survive, others do not. So thank you.
Yeah, I just want to add one thing. A typical example is, example of how, say, natural evolution works is, I'll take myself as an example. Now, if I take off my glasses, I'm like blind as a bat. You know, I need my glasses to see. If I had lived in an era where medicine is not as advanced it is, I would probably have been killed by a predator, or I would have been killed in riots or wars much easily. This could have happened before I would have had a chance to, reproduce, to make children. And by that way, the gene that causes my eyesight to, be weak will be eliminated from the gene pool. So only those with good eyesight survived back then. But now we have conquered that natural selection by, a more advanced version of selective breeding, which is, artificial selection. Now we put on glasses. And so genes that give us bad eyesight is not eliminated. So that keeps getting propagated. So that's basically an example of how natural selection used to work and how we have changed it to, our advantage.
Thank you, everyone. I hope the audience enjoyed. Let's give them a round of applause for all the... So, anyone from the audience who would like to share? Okay. So, we'll have maximum two. Okay. So that we get some time for the evaluator to speak. His Grace Radhesham Prabhu can talk about it. So...
So my first question from you is, basically you are saying that humans are evolving from the monkeys, and this you are saying based on the fossils, right? That we are getting the fossils of monkey first earlier, and that carbon dating which we are doing, monkey and apes, whatever. Okay, so I can show you a number of evolution, forgeries, where it is clearly confirmed that these are the, this archaeological, they are the forgeries. They are done. If you will search in the Wikipedia, like a number of are there. Calaveran sir, carative giant, Devonport tablets, Egyptian mummy, Etruscan, and so on. So how can you just confirm that whatever you are taking at the base, is it right?
Oh.
Okay.
That's a question we'll take up later maybe, because we'll need to also...
Yeah, we can just do that.
Yes. But this would actually, very, very good question.
And then once you also gave the example that like the 10 avatars of Vishnu, it evolved from in fish form and then its own evolved. But then when you see the, when you compare the avatar, Ram avatar, Krishna avatar and Buddha avatar, we can clearly say that they are physical and mental and everything is same, correct? Then according to that point, the evolution, it should stop at some age, right? But then again, it is predicted that in future, the head of the human, it will be growing, and because we will be doing more exercise and our this rest part, it will be down. So will there be some point, will there be some stage should come where it should stop? So where is that stage right now? And because according to you, the if the things is continuously driving, then it should continue for the time.
Thank you guys. You all four were awesome. And definitely it's a great debate, points, two of them. So my thoughts which I want to share is like, I don't think so we all have created by God. It's, I think, nature which is created every species. You can see around us, there are, every day in a news we can see the new species is getting created. So it's not like God is getting created. It's like nature, which is something maybe, or the species are trying to evolve in some new form. So if I talk about the parrot, they have the capabilities, they can speak. So it's not like God is treat them or teach them to speak. They are evolving themselves. They can speak, or maybe in future we can see all the words they can speak. Right now they have their sounds, but if I talk about the parrot, they can speak, they can copy us. So it's their capability, they can speak. So that species is evolving. They are making change to survive in this world. So if I talk about the apes, maybe the years ago they were facing something to move ahead what they were, to generate or to discover something new to make their life easy to live better. So slowly they have created, they have discovered something to survive in this world. And if I talk about the crocodiles, they were, the Discovery Channel said they were the part of dinosaurs time. So the long species are keep alive till now. So they have made themselves to survive in this world. So maybe I can say the human we are from the apes generated, and they evolve, the world evolve, or the need they to survive in this world. So right now we all see we are doing something new to survive. Everyone is doing something new to move ahead. So yeah, so this is kind of organism which we can see.
Just a small point that the whole Darwin theory, when it was given, it was based on a lot of observations. And it's a little bit of a problem that when a theory comes out based on observation, we say that there are a lot of similarities in the bone structure of various mammals or animals from which we might have come up. You know, the triangle and circle looks very different, but if I open the wire of a circle, I can make a triangle out of it. So similarity does not mean that, you know, they will come out of the same thing. And dissimilarity does not mean that I can come out of it. I cannot come out of it. So I think we still need to put a lot of effort to he mentioned one particular experiment where living life can be created from a non-living organism. Yes, I mean there have been some experiments in this direction, but I think it's still not very conclusive, because human as a form is very, very highly evolved than what we believe apes can be. One of the biggest question is why apes stayed there then? Why they didn't become extinct? You can say that, you know, it can be apple to oranges, but still, you know, the fact of the life is apes still exist in different conditions. Apes does exist in America, it does exist in Antarctica, maybe it does exist in Africa, all different weather conditions, all these organisms from which we believe we might have started have stayed on. So I think I personally feel it is still not very conclusive that apes were the things from which we originated. And till we don't have a conclusion, we have faith in God.
Hare Krishna. Okay, I think I enjoyed it a lot. All the audience, all the
All four of you, fantastic job. Thank you. With this, I would also like to invite His Grace Radhesham Prabhu to share his thoughts about this topic. And then we'll also be serving some snack prasadam after the class. And so please give us also your contact number if you have not already given. Vipul Prabhu is sitting outside. I think you have contact number of everyone, right? Okay, thank you.
Hare Krishna, Krishna.
If you like
Hare,
to,
Hare Ram,
you can sit there
Hare,
or
Hare.
You can come down.
Yeah, Hare Krishna. You can connect this to the projector, please. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnana Anjana Shalakaya Chakshuhuman Melitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So it was very interesting to hear all of you speak. I felt the content was very substantial from everybody, and I am going to only specifically address some of the things that you brought up, because the subject is oceanic. So you will see as I proceed, I will, in a very pointed manner, I will approach one theme at a time, then it will become clear. Yeah. Is it connected? See, for your kind information, Charles Darwin never said living things came from matter. He never said that. He said that the absolute creator must have breathed out two or three forms. That is a statement he has written in his book, Origin of Species. But he spoke about evolution. So these are two different things. One is about how the first living thing originated. Did it originate from matter? Or did it originate from a living form, isn't it? So that is one subject. And another subject is, after two or three living forms come, how did the further living beings come? That is called the evolution, we call it. So first we are going to talk about the first living thing, how it came. So here if you see this, Ajay. So we were talking about the theory of spontaneous generation. So one Dawkins, he wrote a book called The Selfish Gene. In the preface to his book, he says that this book should be read as if it's a sci-fi book. Why? Because he says that he is going to bring some things which he, by his speculation, he feels might have happened. Like here he says, I can make it a little bigger for you. Just a minute. So he begins like this, that in the beginning the earth had an atmosphere composed of carbon dioxide, methane, ammonia and water, and then some energy supplied by sunlight and volcanoes and everything. The simple components broken apart and reformed into amino acids. And then the sea, and then they all accumulated in the sea and formed the organic, that primordial soup. And then the protein-like compounds combined and formed a layer over them, and then, you know, still it was lifeless. And then he says a particularly remarkable molecule was formed by an accident, he says, that had ability to produce itself. He doesn't say how. He says that the accident was exceedingly improbable, but nevertheless it happened, he expects. And then he says, similar molecules clustered together, and again by exceedingly improbable accident, the protective barrier of other protein molecules came, and then finally the first living cell generated, he says. And then he says how from that single cell, eventually, you know, it became more and more complex, it grew. So let us see further. See, these are the six steps involved in the step which we said just now. These are the steps involved. First is, there should be presence of right primitive atmosphere and formation of the organic soup and forming into simple compounds, and then proteins and nucleotides, and then the membrane should come, then genetic code should happen, replication. So down below, what we are showing here is, we are going step by step. See here, the problem one, if you see, I have put all the six steps here, up to this, these are the six steps, I believe, yeah, okay, including this, yeah. See, these are the six steps. See, step one, was oxygen present in the Earth's primitive atmosphere? If you ask, okay, if oxygen is present, simple compounds wouldn't combine to form amino acids. They cannot form. So let us say that oxygen was not there. But oxygen is required. Why? Because amino acids formed would immediately be decomposed by cosmic rays if oxygen wouldn't be present. So any of you, if you have studied this subject, you can answer the question, was oxygen present or not present?
Initially it was not present. Basically, prokaryotes started...
Oh, you can answer, yeah, surely.
I'm sure.
Yeah. I can have the mic also. Yeah, you can give the mic, yeah.
See, initially oxygen was not present.
Mm.
So at that time, it was a reducing atmosphere. So reducing atmosphere basically means anything with, if oxygen or molecule was there, it will immediately combine with something or the other. Mm-hmm. So initially, reducing atmosphere was there. And after a particular point, oxygen was made as a byproduct. So basically, it was something that the...
What caused that byproduct to happen?
Anaerobic bacteria did not want oxygen to be there. Basically, what happened was oxygen, once it started saturating, you have a particular layer in the Earth's geology where there is a lot of iron just rusting. So there's in geology, basically even now we mine that particular layer to find iron.
See, I can ask you this question, but the same question was asked to Dawkins. You can see what Dawkins says. Here he says, actually, without oxygen, the amino acids formed would immediately be decomposed by cosmic rays. And then he goes on to say, actually, I have only cut and pasted only the important portions from his writing. But if I take the book, I can show you. See, then he says, was the energy supply present or not by the sunlight or by volcanoes? Okay, if energy was not present, the simple compounds would not have split and no formation of amino acids possible. But if energy was present, it will immediately decompose the amino acids. Isn't it? This is the second problem about the energy supply. Then as you proceed further, did amino acids... See, one important thing you will notice here, we are giving lenience. The first step, first of all, how was oxygen present and not present, that is not yet answered. He himself says that. Let us just imagine that we have crossed over this problem and we go to the second problem. Second problem I told you, problem two. Problem two was this. Problem one was oxygen, problem two was energy. If energy was supplied, the simple compounds would not have split and no amino acids formed. And if energy was present, that would decompose any amino acids that formed there. So therefore, the amino acids had to escape, so they went into the ocean. Correct. Now then we may think it will get protected, but what happens here, you see, did the amino acids stay inside the water or outside it? Outside it, what will happen? It will get evaporated by the cosmic rays. If it goes inside the water favors breaking up of big molecules and not their formation. As outside the water, they would be decomposed by cosmic rays, yes? Is it? Now you check it? Give this one, yeah. You can try this one.
Hello. Okay. So many years ago, maybe 4.3 billion years ago, the moon was pretty close to Earth. You know, so at that time, the tides were pretty high and pretty low. So there was a sizable amount of shallow area where the amino acids were not, extremely wet nor extremely dry. So it is normally in...
Dawkins doesn't say that.
Okay, maybe, but...
We could speculate many things. See, one very important thing I'll tell you. Speculation, for example, say this room is closed completely.
Mm-hmm.
You are outside and you hear a loud noise coming from the room. What all you could say? You could say maybe, some family members are fighting in the family. You may say that. That's one possibility, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Or somebody may say, no, some drama practice is going on. Some rehearsal is going on. And then when you open the room, you find nobody there, only TV is going on.
Mm-hmm.
Correct, no? Speculation is a very wild thing. It's like wild goose chase. No? So what I am saying is, see, we all are very young people. But scientists are very, people who have done a lot of research on this and they have discussed about it. So when Dawkins talks about this step, he says that this is a scientific problem. He says that the amino acids, if they go inside water, the water doesn't favor, amino acids to stay as it is. It favors breaking up and not their formation. And outside the water, keep amino acids, they get evaporated to the cosmic rays. So the evolution process doesn't, spontaneous generation of life, it's not favoring it. Then let's go ahead. So the Francis Hitchings says the theoretical chances of getting through even this first and relatively easy stage, getting amino acids in the evolution of life, are forbidding. This is a very famous scientist, Francis Hitchings, he says that. And then biochemist George Wald says the most stubborn problem that confronts us evolutionists, he says this. And then we proceed further now. Okay, let us assume that somehow amino acids came. Let us assume. Let us give it a chance. You know, let amino acids be there. How did specific amino acids form in the organic soup? Specific means what? Here the explanation is given here. Here it says here, see, there are 100 types of amino acids, out of which only 20 are needed, and the 20 also should be left-handed, all of them. And should they be formed at random, as in a theoretical organic soup, it's most likely that they would be a mixture of half right-handed and half left-handed, like that. But yet, only 20 specific amino acids, all left-handed, should be needed. And the example is given here. I have not given here. One example was given by scientists. They say that, imagine you have 100 types of beans. Say, in that there are red beans, there are white beans. So, like left hand and right hand acids. And when you put a scoop, and pick up the thing, you should only get red beans. And you should not get any white beans. That's one condition. Plus, in the scoop, you should find all those red beans in a specific order, one after another. And what is the probability for that? If you want to know, they have made a calculation of the probability which comes, follows just now, after this. After saying about the proteins, it comes. See here. The proteins needed for life have very complex molecules. 20 specific left-handed amino acids need to combine at a specific sequence to form a protein useful for life. So what is the chance there? Here it said, it's good. See, here is example given here. It could be likened to be having a big, thoroughly mixed pile containing equal numbers of red and white beans. 100 varieties of beans you have. When you plunge it, you should only get 20 varieties of red beans alone. In the world of protein, a simple mistake in any one of these requirements would cause the protein that is produced to fail to function properly. Everybody knows it. Would any amount of stirring and scooping in our hypothetical bean pile have the right combination? That's the question. So here is a probability for it. Evolutionists acknowledge it only to be 10 to the power of 113. In mathematics, if you get anything like 10 to the power of 50, it is dismissed as a mathematical file. You know, beyond that, you don't go. But therefore, it is a mathematical impossibility. Therefore, one Hoyle, he says, that one chance in 10 to the power of 40,000. Actually, I have not given you the full detail. Finally, they arrive at this figure. He says that it could not be faced even if the whole universe consisted of organic soup, he says. Still, life wouldn't arise. That's what he concludes. See, this is not my sentimental blind statement. It is one of the scientists says that. One Fred Hoyle, he says that. And then, beyond all this, there is the last thing which comes, genetic code. It's like asking, which came first, DNA or protein? No scientist can answer it today also. It's like asking, which came first, chicken came first or egg came first? Somebody says, see, from egg chicken comes, so egg must have come first. He may say, but egg comes from where? Egg comes from chicken. They're like, the same is the problem with DNA and protein also. Which one came first? So Hitchings says, proteins depend on DNA for their formation, but DNA cannot form without pre-existing protein. So which one came first? Answer must be, they developed in parallel, some people say. So in this way, that is the last step, which is explained. So, actually, I am not going to the different things I have collected here. I am only going to go point-wise. One of the things I told you here is, spontaneous generation of life from matter is simply a theory. There is no practical proof. Today, can scientists show from chemicals they can produce life? In fact, in University of Illinois, one scientist was speaking for 2 hours about the chemical evolution theory and the spontaneous generation theory was speaking. So one student stood up and asked, sir, you are talking about life coming from chemicals. I will give you amino acids right now. Can you take amino acids and produce life and show us in a laboratory? He said, that I cannot say, he said. Why he cannot say? Because no one has done it. Nobody has shown it. It is only a theory that maybe the life has come from amino acids. During one of your talks, he made one interesting point that it seems that in the living forms, the stage prior to that is amino acids, you know. So if amino acids are getting formed by Miller's experiment, then it is likely that, you know, very soon the life may form, correct, no? By passing of electricity or things like that. That's what everybody suspected, that they thought like that, you know, when they heard about it. But now you will find, you take a lemon tree, for example. In a lemon tree, the lemon tree produces hundreds and thousands of lemon fruits. And they produce tons of citric acid. That means when life is present in a lemon tree, it produces tons of citric acid. Now you take those citric acid from that, can you produce a lemon tree from that? Can you produce life from that? You don't see that. You don't see living forms coming from chemicals. But you see chemicals coming out of living forms. Like all of us are living beings, you all agree. Now we pass stool, which is nothing but hydrogen phosphate. We pass urine, which is also urea. So these are all chemicals. We sweat. Sweat also has some chemical, isn't it? So chemicals are coming out of a living body, but the combining of the chemicals doesn't produce life. And not only chemicals. There is nobody in this world who can show you that from matter life can originate. Till date, no scientist has shown it. It is only a theory in paper which Dawkins wrote. Dawkins wrote in his theory, because why Dawkins did that, there is a reason. When Darwin wrote his theory, he talked about evolution without talking about the first living entity or first living creature. He didn't talk about it. So Dawkins thought, why to allow God the chance to create the first few living beings? You remove God from the scene. Like you must have read God Delusion. You know, God Delusion, written by Dawkins, is another Dawkins. That Dawkins, old Dawkins, is new Dawkins. So this Dawkins wrote a book, God Delusion, and in London they put in many of the buses, God probably is not there, enjoy life. That's what they put up in London, many of the buses. So after Dawkins wrote that book, another fellow wrote, you know, Dawkins Delusion, another fellow wrote the book. But the point is what? There is a very strong spirit of atheism, which works very hard to brush God aside and to come up with some kind of theory of how the living forms must have originated on their own. And when they made that theory, you saw how much of a defeat it faces even by the other scientists. This is not opposed by religionists. Religionists may not know so much. But the other scientists have studied them very carefully and they have presented their objections in a very systematic fashion. So one thing I covered till now is spontaneous generation of living forms from matter. So now another thing regarding this mutation this is the one. Yeah, see here, you heard about the Cambrian explosion? You heard about this? See, Cambrian explosion, what it says here, you see, during the Cambrian period, an abundance of complex multicellular life appeared suddenly, within as brief a period as 5 to 10 million years, which is a blink of an eye, geologically speaking. These forms seem to appear out of nowhere. As per evolution theory, simple forms were present earlier, which were transformed into more and more complex forms later. So we could expect that early fossils show only simple forms. Older fossils show more forms. But here in Cambrian explosion, multiple forms which are highly complex structures, they came out all of a sudden. So you ask any evolutionist, he will say, sorry sir, please don't bring this one thing, they will tell you. This is one thing they cannot answer. They know it, but they have no answer for it. And another thing, you will see that, just a minute. See here, the Bohr letters, I'll just make it little bigger. See, the fossil evidence you all know, for example, the fossil evidence, how it is expected according to Darwin's evolution. Now we are finished with life coming from matter thing, that's over. Now we are talking about evolution, one form into another form. Here, if you see, for example, you say the fish is getting, according to Darwin, the fish was in water, then it came out as an amphibian, say like a frog, then it became a snake, then afterwards it is supposed to grow wings and become a bird, isn't it? Then it becomes a bird and it's supposed to fly. This is the way it's supposed to evolve, isn't it? So take a fish for example. Fish has got the fins, they should become hands and legs, isn't it? Fish has got the gills for respiration, naturally that should turn into heart. Is it not true? So that is the point made here. For instance, there should be fish fins changing into amphibian legs with feet and toes and gills changing into lungs, isn't it? There should be reptiles with front limbs changing into bird wings, correct, no? In case reptiles have to change into birds. Similarly, the back limbs changing into legs with the claws. But there are no such links found between these things. It is only a postulate till date. You can ask. There are hundreds of evidences by different scientists to show. I wanted to show one thing. Just 1 minute. Here is the sound card, yeah? Where is the sound card? Just. This is a short clip, 2 minutes clip, you can see that. It's connected.
Evolutionists go so far in this subject that they can even invent very different faces for the same skull. The three entirely different reconstructions made for the fossil calls in Xanthropus is a famous example showing how persistent evolutionists are in producing these false masks. Another intermediate transitional form fabricated by evolutionists was the Nebraska Man. This was cooked up in 1922 on the basis of a single fossil tooth. The evolutionists did not neglect to give it an ostentatious Latin name, Asparopithecus Harold-Cooka, or to make imaginary drawings related to it. It was soon revealed that the tooth that had been the source of inspiration for Nebraska Man, in fact, belonged to a wild pig.
So these were some of the evidences. Now coming back to our... this mic is working? Yeah. So, see below you will see, Darwin also expected that actually the species would go from unicellular to multicellular and all. But they found actually that the multicellular things and unicellular coexisted in many places. See here, for example, the wrong fossil order sequence. What is the wrong fossil order sequence? Sometimes more developed creatures are earlier than they are underground, much below than they have found out like that also. Similarly, the record of the rocks, these are the things which he was speaking, Ajay was speaking about, the, you know, he was giving a list of the hominids, you know, we can make it a little bigger. See, according to the record of the rocks, hominids are man-like creatures, you know, began to evolve from ape-like ancestors in Africa about 4 million years ago, correct, no? And then they said 4 to 2 million years ago, Australopithecians. And then after that, you know, then 1.5 million years ago, this thing. So now there are evidences to show that very developed man existed even 5 million years ago also. Because according to them, the human beings started evolving from 4 million only. But now you may wonder, if you are saying, what to 5, even 10 million years ago also there are evidences that of human beings having existed. Now why those evidences were not brought, we may have a question. In fact, we have a book called as Forbidden Archaeology, which is a written by Michael Cremo, a very famous book. So in that book, he wrote that book? He went to all the universities and requested them to get permission for opening their lab I mean, opening their godown and everything and study all the different skulls. So the skulls which were not matching with Darwin, according to Darwin, you are only supposed to get human forms coming from 4 million years ago, also they are not very developed forms, as you rightly said, according to him. But whenever they got evidence which showed 5 million years ago, 10 million years ago, humans existed, what they did, they kept it inside the, you know, godown. They thought this is not matching with Darwin. But now, Fabre Nakalji book, all those evidences are brought out. He has published them. In America, when this Fabre Nakalji book was published and videos were shown, they said this is one thing which evolutionists don't like to see. Because it goes deadly against the evolution theory. It's not that humans, as the record of the rock show, you will see that actually monkeys existed, apes existed, and parallelly humans have existed in a very developed form also. We will come to the point separately. I want to say one thing about breeding. Actually, breeding is not evolution. Like you will see, for example, one scientist says here, seen as a natural mutation, which means actually, I'll just show you. Sometimes you can externally, man-made, you were saying about that point. Who said that point? Man-made and... See, the accidental changes in the nucleus of the cell, that is actually called mutation. So how do they originate? If you see, in the growth of self-production when it happens, there may be some problems due to which it happens. But you know what is the result of that? For example, the flies having little longer wings may get little shorter wings, or they may get some broken wings. Or sometimes the moth's color, for example, if it was bright brown, it becomes light brown or something like that. But beyond that, it doesn't make any change in the species in itself. It doesn't make. For example, you can cause external mutation also by using radiation and chemicals. You can do that. Cause external mutation. If you do that, that is more of an accident, as it is mentioned. Accidents cause harm, not good, he says. See, 2000 experiments were conducted on fruit flies. You will see here. See, the scientists are saying here. See what the Scientific American is saying here. It says, living beings are enormously diverse in form, but the form is remarkably constant within any given line of descent. Pigs remain. Pigs, oak trees remain. Oak trees, generation after generation. New species don't come. See, for example, here, these flies. These are fruit flies. 2000 experiments were conducted on them. By any amount of mutation, they became flies only. Maybe little longer, little shorter. Same with dogs also, you see. If you do mutation with dogs, they become different type of dogs. Similarly, the human beings you will find. So here is the most vital point coming here in this chart, if you see. See, the genetic mutation, what is fact, what is myth, is clearly shown here. What is fact is this. When you do mutation, variations in the original form come. Whereas what the scientists are expecting to happen is, unlimited new forms will come by mutation, they are thinking. So, this they tried with multiple experiments. If they succeeded in this, Darwin's evolution theory will be a proven fact now. If they succeeded in this, they did not succeed. By any amount of mutation, they could not change the species and the species remained the same. That is the point made here. Even if some slight modifications in the structure of the species comes, but again it switches, comes back to its whatever you call as, you know, quote-unquote normal or whatever. It comes back to that. Therefore, the mutation, we have not changed any species. The species remains the same. So that was one thing. Now, I wanted to show one PowerPoint. See, did we evolve from branches to benches? Here is a classroom. You know, he is teaching that we came from the apes to humans, isn't it? So, in Science Digest, there was an article. Somebody asked a question. We sometimes see the monkeys with all their four legs, two hands and two legs touching the ground, slowly standing, slowly standing, slowly standing, and then becoming a human, isn't it? So what is the basis of such drawings? So, science... You know, that magazine, Science Digest magazine said, pure fiction. Because these are only, some kind of theories that man has speculated. Are there practical evidences for the links? Ideally speaking, we should be able to show links at every point. Now I showed you a video before, which was the video was showing, dismiss, correct, no? Like for example, 1911, Piltdown Man. You know, it was actually not a Piltdown Man, it was a monkey. But the scientists had brushed the tooth to look like that of a human being kind of thing. I don't know whether you all have heard about Haeckel's fraudulent charts. You heard about that? No, Haeckel, what fraud he did? Actually, there is biogenetic law. There is a law which is a concocted law. What that law says, that all the species which were, you know, the evolution took place until you become a human, they happen in the womb of a mother. That is a biogenetic law, you know. Gradually, that means from a singular cell, then multiple cell, and all the different evolution you went through, finally you come. But that law is not true. It is proven also. Now it is proven now. Because you only see certain stages of development happening in the womb, but not. But what Haeckel did, he wanted to somehow prove that man came from apes. For that, he did some blunders which were exposed in the scientific field. I have an article, I can show you that later. But now let's go to this. Here I am summarizing the things here. What is the source of this universe? Where has it come from? So I have put two views. Contemporary worldview means current day schools, what they teach, Darwinian approach, and the Vedic worldview. So, like, you know, the contemporary worldview is many people think that this world has no God who is doing anything. Everything has come from a big bang. Whereas the Vedic worldview says that God created everything and everyone. The very meaning of the word cosmos means an orderly, harmonious, systematic universe. If you see in the Oxford Dictionary, it says this. That's the meaning of cosmos. It's a harmonious, systematic universe. So, okay, let us see why are they talking about Big Bang Theory? Or by the way, what is it? Here is a summary of the Big Bang Theory given there. Big Bang Theory says that there was a point long, long before, and that point was of infinite temperature, infinite density, and infinitesimal in size. And then when it exploded, all the, you know, worlds came out of it. And it cannot be physically described. Mathematically, it's like singularity. You cannot verify it. And it's beyond all conceptions of space and time. I don't know how can this be called a scientific theory. Because it is mathematically unverifiable. It's beyond conception of space and time. Basically, the faith is not eliminated in science. Faith is given a new type of garb by giving this theory. You can see that. And on the right side, I have quoted Albert Einstein, who says that I believe in God who reveals himself in orderly harmony of the universe. He believed in a great intelligence behind his creation. So, this is about the source of the cosmos which I showed you now. So, did everything come from a big bang, one point, which some people think, or everything started from a big brain? There is a brain behind this creation, who has created everything. This is Bhagavad Gita, like Krishna says, Aham sarvasya prabhavo mattas sarvam pravartate iti matva bhajante mam buddha bhava samanvitaha. He says, I am the source of all spiritual and material worlds. Everything emanates from me. He says, gama vishyaca bhutani dharayam yaham ojasa. Ojasa means energy. I enter into each and every planet in the universe, and by my energy they stay in orbit. He says that, so you can put gm1 m2 by r square and find out what is the mutual attraction between the weights which is sustaining the planets. But if there is a mutual dependence in this world, there has to be absolute dependence also. For example, say all of you have been to your school and college, isn't it? So you were depending on your teachers for getting education. And the teachers are depending on you for getting their salary. Correct, no? So there is a mutual dependence. But above both of you, there is a principal of the school and owner of the college, without whose presence the school or college cannot run. You take plans for, you take oxygen we get from the plants, we supply them carbon dioxide. If there is a mutual dependence, these two should have some absolute dependence in someone beyond. Otherwise, the mutual dependence symbiotic relationship cannot function. Like you can see a cow or a bull has got some, ticks they call it. And a bird sits and removes that on the neck, and the animal doesn't fear. So the bird is helping the animal to remove the ticks from the neck, the germs, but the bird also gets its food also along with that. So there's a mutual dependence between the two, but someone has arranged that mutual dependence. So there must be someone above, just like in a school there is a principal, in a college there is a, similarly in a country there is a prime minister, similarly in mutual dependence, wherever it is there has to be somebody beyond. And source of life and its symptoms. See, when I say life, I will define it very scientifically. There are external symptoms of life. There are internal symptoms of life. Think about what I am going to say now. External symptoms are three. you can see that. For example, there is perception. Do you all agree that you are perceiving the world around you with your eyes, with your ears, with your nose, with your tongue and skin? Correct? You are perceiving. For example, you are walking in the road. You see a snake. Immediately, after that perception happens, mental ability. Mental ability means what? To think, to feel and will, to desire. Think means you think. Oh, what is this? This is a snake. And what do you feel? Oh, snakes bite. And if they bite, what will happen? One may die also. Then immediately a desire arises in you. What is the desire? I want to escape from the snake now. Isn't it? That is called mental ability. These three things. Thinking, feeling, willing. And then there is a purposeful action. And what is the purposeful? This is the third thing. Perception, mental ability, purposeful action. Immediately look for a stick, take a stick and beat the snake. That is purposeful action. Correct? Another example I'll tell you. See, somebody brings and keeps a gulab jamun floating in a golden liquid in a vati, isn't it? So you have perception. What is the perception? You see it. Then it registers in the mind. Oh, gulab jamuns are generally very sweet. Isn't it? They are very soft, very nice. I have eaten it before. I would like to eat it now. Correct, no? And then you are waiting for the host to tell you, go ahead. Then immediately you put your hand. That's purposeful action. Take it and put it in the mouth. So there is a perception, mental ability, purposeful action. These three things are external symptoms of life. You can see. You can observe it. And there are internal also. What is internal is knowledge and awareness. For example, do you all agree that you are seeking knowledge in this world? Otherwise, why did you go to school? Isn't it? Like even if you keep a plant in a dark room, the plant will go towards the sunlight. That is experiment disproven. So, tamasoma jyotirgamaya. From darkness means ignorance. You try to come to knowledge. So, we all are seeking knowledge. Yeah. Another thing that we all are seeking is existence. We don't want to die. If you bow down and take a stone, even a dog will run away. If you clap the hands, all the birds will fly away. Because nobody wants to die in this world. Have you tried catching a fly? You try to catch a fly, it will escape because it doesn't want to die. Every one of you sitting here, think about it, we don't want to die. We all have jivitasha, desire to live. This is also internally we can say. Thirdly, we all are pleasure seeking by nature. We want to become happy. You all know what is job satisfaction, you say, correct? No? How many of you look for job satisfaction? Correct? In the work that you do, correct? No? We all want satisfaction to begin with. Eventually, we want that satisfaction to become happiness. Eventually, we want it to become bliss or, you know, it's unlimited happiness. We all are looking for it. So, these three things are life symptoms internally. Now, awareness and knowledge, desire to exist and desire for satisfaction. You can see that. Internally and externally, I told you three things. Perception, mental ability and purposeful action. These things you do not find in a dead matter. You do not find them. If a snake goes around this, you know, cot, I mean around this stool, nothing is going to happen. There is neither perception, nor purposeful action, nor mental ability. Dead matter is inert. It doesn't have feelings. It doesn't have consciousness. Like I am wearing this chadar because it's very cold. So I will cover like this. When it becomes very hot, I will take it out like this. Correct, no? Because I have consciousness. I have feelings, which is not there with dead matter. You see that. Therefore, life and matter are two distinct things. In 1996, one scientist made a statement. He said, by 2000, I can vouch, he said, I'll make a humanoid, male and female humanoids, he said. Any of you can pick up one of the humanoids and marry, and you will have one very big special plus point, he said. You know what is it? If you marry a girl humanoid, whatever you say, she will obey. She will not rebel against you. Because she will be a humanoid. You can operate her. Like that, he said. And now 2000 is gone. 2018 is gone. And my friends, I can tell you, million years will go. You cannot make a human being who is fully endowed with these symptoms which I told you just now. Because he himself realized life symptoms which are seen in living forms cannot be brought in matter. Like for example, one time they showed in television a robo doing aarti for Balaji, you know, ringing the bell. This any electronics engineer can design such a robo, you know, ringing the bell and rotating. It's basically in a microprocessor, you write a program, you know, the servo motors can move it, isn't it? It's not very easy to do. Even your computer in the morning, you can say, I love you very much, good morning, or whatever. You can say whatever you program it. And we know that it has no feelings, correct, no? But we all are looking for feelings and emotions. That is why whenever you call somebody, and there is one lady saying, so-and-so is not available here, please leave a message. When the dial tone comes, ting, you know, when you hear that, how many of you feel like beating your phone down? Correct, no? You know it is not life. There are no life symptoms there. It is a dead thing, programmed thing coming. Therefore, my dear friends, first of all, understand what is life, what is matter. Know the difference between the two. See here. The theory of evolution, as is currently prevalent, it teaches all these things, which I showed you, how it failed at each and every step we showed. But the Vedic worldview says, chemicals do not produce life. In fact, life produces chemicals. I told you the lemon tree example. And then where is the life symptoms coming? It is coming from a driver of the body called self-energy or the soul. The soul is the driver of the body. Who is anti-material? Who is by? There is a mechanistic science, there is non-mechanistic science. Whatever I told you now is all based on non-mechanistic science. It is actually a spiritual science. Like one famous writer said, we are all not human beings having a spiritual experience. He said we are spiritual beings having a human experience. Sometimes you are spiritual being having a dog experience or a cat experience. You may change. For example, if you ask a question to any of you, who are you? You may immediately say, what would be answer? He will tell you a name. But here is a Dr. Harry Monson from Illinois College. You see what he says. Most of the human body is water. He says, there is calcium, phosphate, potassium, sulfur, sodium, magnesium, copper and iodine. All these things are there. Does it sound like you? Are you the substances? Calcium? Can I call you? Oh, calcium, please come here. Phosphorus, come here. Iron, come here. This is what your body is made up of. Is it the essential stuff of your identity? Not only that, all these chemicals in your body put together costs only how much? Rupees 110. Imagine one of your friends is going in a Mercedes-Benz and he faces a terrible accident and he is fainted unconscious. All of you now tell me the answer to my question. Will you take your friend to the hospital, rush him there, or will you take Mercedes-Benz to the garage? Which one will you do first? Garage? Okay, how many of you will take Mercedes-Benz to garage? You pull out your friend's body and throw it in the side of the road and take the Mercedes to the garage. How many of you will do that? See, your friend's body is only 110 rupees. But Mercedes-Benz is how much? 25, 30 lakhs? How much it is?
Can start from 25.
25 lakhs it can start, correct, no? Yeah. So why do you leave behind a 25 lakh commodity in the road and you take 110 rupees commodity to the, you know, hospital? Why do you do that? So, because there is something beyond the chemicals in the body. See, in Bhagavad Gita, like Krishna says this, the yellow one you see, that is the soul, Atma, we call it. Above that, there are two coverings. Grass covering is everybody knows, Panchamahabhut, earth, water, fire, air, ether, the flesh and bones, everything. But inside that, there is the Man, Buddhi, Ahankar, mind, intelligence and ego, which is actually covering over the soul, which is shown in dotted. You know what happens at the time of death? The soul covered by Man, Buddhi, Ahankar comes out, and Man has all the desires, and he gets another body. Like you see here, the soul has passed away, people are crying. The body is now just like a machine only. Actually, our body is nothing but a CNC machine. See, it's like our body is also like a computer only. Only thing is, see, in a computer there is CPU. Similarly, we have a brain, correct, in our body. In a computer, we have software and everything. We also have a hard disk to store all our memory and mind, isn't it? Similarly, we have a gross body, we have a computer. But in a computer, there is an operator. Similarly, in the body, there is an operator. Who is the operator? The soul. That is explained here. See here, the soul is coming out of the body. And the body is still there. Okay. So, this I told you. This third question, what is life? What is death? There is no clear-cut definition in science. In science, they say, what they say here, see? This I have repeated from Dawkins, what he said, I showed you earlier. That's what he says, life came about. And then death, what he says? Death means, you know, somehow the body goes on and on at a certain point of time, the body is worn out, finished, and you die, that's all. There is nothing beyond it. Whereas here you find, the Vedic worldview, that when soul enters a bodily machine, then the body is said to be living. When the soul leaves, just like for example, I sit in the Luna is having life now, it's moving. Like I put my gloves in my hand, and the gloves is appearing to having life. Is it having life? Gloves doesn't have life, but my hands are giving it life. When I take off my hand, the gloves will fall. Similarly, the body also is termed dead when the soul leaves the body. See, this is a true story. In Sri Lanka, there was one Dr. Kovur who was a top-notch atheist who ran a society called Rationalist Association. So when ISKCON devotees went there to Lanka and started a center, he ridiculed ISKCON devotees and published in the paper saying that there is no soul, there is no God, these people are making a big fuss about it and all that. So in ISKCON we had one scientist, Hamsadutta Prabhu, who gave him a challenge in Sunday Times. Sir, if you say living forms came from chemicals, ISKCON is ready to give you $60,000. In newspaper he advertised, we will give you $60,000. We are coming to Ramakrishna Mission Hall on Sunday evening, 6 o'clock. In front of all of us, take the chemicals, and $60,000 is a gift for you. Take it and produce one mosquito and show us. And that fellow did not turn up for the meeting, although thousands of people gathered to watch the miracle. That fellow didn't come over. Instead, what he said, no, if you say God produced everything, tell God to come and produce some living forms and show me, let God show, then I will show, like that he said. Then our sannyasi, he wrote to him, you are asking God to show, you fool. God has already shown the miracle. There are millions and millions of creatures wandering here and there. God has already shown his magic, now you show your magic, he said. And that fellow couldn't do it. So ISKCON gave an open challenge for people, any scientist who can produce even one mosquito from a chemical. We cannot produce one grain. We cannot produce one drop of blood. We cannot create one mosquito. Even the cloning is done from living forms. Remember that. You have to take a female, male living body, and you can take the nucleus from a female body, from male body, and put it in female, and then make a surrogate mother. So, therefore, you will find. Here is the Biology Today magazine. What it says. This Georgi, very famous scientist, he said that in my search for secret of life, you know what this fellow did? He did a very interesting thing. He wanted to create semen. He said, I don't want to make living forms. I'll make semen. And he studied the semen very carefully, chemical composition of the semen and everything. Exactly, he made an imitation semen using chemicals. And he said, we will impregnate this artificial semen into the wombs and create life. And they tried their best, although this artificial semen looked like real semen, just like you make many things imitation. But this is what he said after that. In my search for secret of life, I ended up with atoms and electrons, which have no life at all. Somewhere along the line, life ran out through my fingers, he says. So therefore, there is no evidence of producing life. See here, one scientist is asking Prabhupada, Swamiji, I think this body is just a complex machine which gets worn out and crashes. Why should we bother about soul powering the body? Prabhupada answered, do you think your car or computer can grow? Do you have a male and female car that can unite and produce a baby car? So two things is telling difference between a living body and a dead body. Dead matter cannot reproduce, dead matter cannot grow. But here you find a living body undergoes six changes. See, these are the differences, major differences between a living body and a machine robot. These are six changes. I have shown that six changes here. See, birth, growth, maintenance, production of byproducts, dwindling and death. This happens in a living body, which does not happen in matter. Matter undergoes only one change, which is depreciation. That's all. Another thing living bodies can do is to, like you cannot make a desktop computer and a laptop computer to unite and make a palm top computer. You can't do that. Whereas living bodies can unite and produce babies. You can see that. And living bodies, I told you, have thinking, feeling, willing, etc. So Krishna says, you are not the body, you are the spirit soul. You can go to Google search and search for Ian Stevenson. He has investigated over 2000 cases of people remembering the reincarnation. Mind you, reincarnation means what? You had one previous body, you have your current body. There is an intersecting element between the two. Why? This fellow is remembering this fellow's everything, some 30-40 items. They are able to remember. That means in this body there is something which was present in the previous body. There is an intersecting element, and the intersecting element is the soul, Atma. For example, say I was in this house. After 5 years, I left this house and went to another house. I can tell you all details about the house. We have 2 fans here. You know, we have 1 room inside. Everything I can say. Similarly, those who have been in one body went to another body and they recapitulated about the previous body. There are 2,000 such cases he analyzed. And he published his doctorate thesis on that. This is one Shukla's case. I'm not going to go into that, but there are many evidences like this you all may be knowing. Another, my, you know, thrilling evidence he made. You see, these children are twins. What he is saying, all of you know something about genetic material. See, the same egg splits into two, and then it becomes 2 children in a mother's womb. That means the children have the same look, you will see, because the genes are same. But Einstein says that they have 2 different temperaments. How many of you have had friends who are twins? Any of you here? You had twin friends? Okay. So did you clearly observe that they have 2 different natures? Yes. So he says, he goes on to say, although the genes are same, they have different natures because they are 2 different souls in 2 different bodies. That's the proof he has given, Einstein. See, there are many books like this about the past life memories and the reincarnation studies, more than 100 books today. What happens to the time of death? Just like you all are wearing one dress today, tomorrow you will change over to another dress. Like that, the soul leaves one body and changes to another, as you see here at the time of death. Like here you see, depending on the consciousness that we develop, we change bodies. See, one changes bodies. These are all different bodies, are like apartments or vehicles. The soul moves from one body to another. Like I move from Luna to Maruti, Maruti to Ben's car to aeroplane. Driver is moving. Not that, you know, Luna, you pump the Luna, it becomes Maruti. You know, Maruti grows a wing and starts flying. Car doesn't change. Car remains same. Only driver is moving from one body to another. Yeah. So soul, we are all transmigrating. This is called transmigration. See, this fellow is leaving the body now, moving to next destination. Okay, what about our ancestors? There was a discussion about ancestors. See, the Darwin's view is your ancestors were apes who gradually evolved into primitive stone age men and finally the most advanced modern man. He says, whereas the Vedic view says that people in the ancient times were socially, politically, religiously highly civilized and cultured humans created by God. And here, Darwin, according to Darwin, they were actually having a civilization which was gradual, arising out of crude and brutish beginnings, and gradually they became evolved. Whereas here it says civilizations are highly complex to begin with. See, just 1 minute. See, these are all shlokas, along with the Rig Veda, different shlokas are given. Types of transport which were there, ships which were there, they are all quoted, you can see that verse also. Types of alloys, the names are given. These are all Vedic times, long before, thousands of years before. Corrosion and loss on heating. See, what they have done is, they have taken out information from the Vedas relevant to modern science. For example, NASA is doing research on high strength to weight ratio material metals from the Vedas. See, salts, metals and alloys. Loss during heating, bronze, quality of air. So, actually there are many. One thing I'll show you, something interesting. See, Vimanas, ancient aliens documented from history. I'll show you one amazing thing here.
Over 1.1 billion people crown its modern cities and rural townships, speaking hundreds of languages and practicing a number of different...
Powered by some jet engines. This seems to be true because all the...
As a whale.
See, this is what he says. That means what became whale, he says? A beer. Similarly, he says a rat became a horse. Rodent. Rodent means a rat. It becomes a horse. So you think about it. Whether is there any such a possibility? Like for example, say you have this amplifier there, you see that? Now I tell you, actually the amplifier existed in this yoga studio for millions of years, and gradually it turned out to become an elephant. And you may wonder, really? How? See, the tail end, you see, that is the trunk of the elephant, you see? And then the body, you know, that turned out to be elephant. That's what he says. How many of you are fully confident in a million years this amplifier will not become elephant? You are fully confident? Correct. No, you are having little doubt about it. See, if a bear, which is a land animal, has to become a water creature, it has to have gills, like the water creature. Now the land, like all of us are land animals. You throw you in water, how long can you swim in the water? Can you live lifelong in the water? Whereas fishes can live lifelong because our bodies are made to live in the water. And he says it grew so big as a whale, he says. One more interesting thing, see here, he says. Yeah, please read that.
So under nature, with the nascent giraffe, the individuals which were the highest browsers and were able to, during dearths, to reach even an inch or two above the others, will often have been preserved. By this process, long continued, combined no doubt in an important manner with the inherited effects of increased use of parts, it seems to me almost certain that any ordinary hoofed quadruped might be converted into a giraffe. Charles Darwin, a species.
Okay, now let us see, consider those giraffes which could stretch their neck. You can put the battery, please. Those giraffes which could stretch their neck, they got the leaves of the tree. So they got more and more extended necks. Now let us assume that there were shorter giraffes which could not reach the tree. Can't they bend their neck down and eat the grass on the ground? Do you think they were too egoistic or proud that they could not get it? At the same time, many other quadrupeds lived, like for example, antelope, deers, they did not die. Do you think every deer had to extend its neck to get the grass from the, get the leaves from the tree? You understand my question? You understand my question, all of you? Is it on? Yeah. Anybody can tell me what question I asked you after showing this picture? This putting the cord was distracting you. Who can repeat the question what I asked? Those who smiled, they heard the question. Anybody? You heard my two questions I asked after that we read this? Anybody? Yeah, in the mic, yeah.
What I got from that was basically how could any four-legged hoofed animal, you know, suddenly become a giraffe?
And also, deers were running here and there and eating grass. So what about the other shorter giraffes? Can't they eat that? He says that they all died because they could not stretch their neck. Number one. Number two, you should be finding bones of this much size neck giraffe, then this much, then this much, gradually growing, which we don't find. There are no such evidences for that. There are no links. Yes. Yeah, correct.
That is
yeah. What is the
that is not accepted by society.
Yeah. So you find that giraffes could have eaten the grass and survived. Many other quadrupeds survived at that time. So you will find when I read these things of Darwin, what appeared to me, you all have heard the just so stories. In Sundarland in India, just so stories. You know, just so stories, he says that once an elephant went to a river and a crocodile pulled his nose and he tried to come out. No, he said he pulled him and that's how he got a long, long trunk, he says. Yeah, these stories are like that only. I'm going to take it as a big theory. This I already told you. Okay, now let's come to the goal of life. What is the goal of life? Here he says, from Darwin or other people, chemical evolution people, the goal of life is the pursuit of comforts and pleasures. They say money is honey. One who dies with maximum toys is a winner. And that means accumulate, one day you die. With all those things, leave it behind and die. And they don't know anything beyond that. Whereas here you see the goal. See, the Vedas say that just like rainwater, when it comes, it is pure. When it touches the ground, it becomes muddy and impure. But you can put it in a desalination plant and again bring it back to its original purity. Similarly, we are all souls are pure, but when we come to this world, we get lust, anger, greed, pride and such bad propensities. And then we all, indulge in wrong behaviors in this world. Like why are we going birth after birth? Anybody knows? Why we take one body, then leave it and second one, third one, fourth one? You know what is it like? It's like chiseling out the unwanted portions of a block of marble to make out a beautiful murti. So God is putting you through different systems in different bodies to gradually bring out the beautiful personality within you. Once you become fully beautiful, you are fit to live with God eternally. That's what the Vedic view says. See, annamaya, pranamaya, manomaya, vijnanamaya, anandamaya, joyful with God. Like here you see, when we forget God, we become mad after the glitter and glamour of the world and consider suffering to be enjoyment. People drink liquor and they get liver cirrhosis and they think they are enjoying. People smoke cigarettes, already there is enough pollution outside, they put more pollution inside and think it's happiness, isn't it? So, whereas Lord Krishna taught all the secrets of life to Arjuna and the wisdom to attain everlasting happiness. So the goal of, actually, according to Vedas, the goal of life is sarve janaha sukhina bhavantu. You will align with universal laws. When you do that, you get everlasting happiness. It's called love agape, we call it. Love agape means universal love. You love all creatures. You have no enemies. At that time, you attain God's abode. Okay, what happens when we act morally or immorally? Here he says, oh, you can get away from the consequences if you are clever enough. That means, you can do mischief, but just be smart. Like that they are saying. According to Darwin's theory, survival of the fittest means what? You climb on others' heads and get what you want. You don't care about the world around you. Whereas here, the Vedic worldview is, you are accountable for every act. Karma means good action. Vikarma means sinful action. Akarma means working for God. Everything is clearly prescribed. Like you see here, look at the world around you. Somebody is beautiful. Somebody is not so beautiful. Somebody is handsome, ugly. Somebody is stinking rich. Somebody is very poor. Don't you see these disparities in this world? Why everybody is not alike? Somebody gets an MD doctor. Somebody is a coolie lifting, working hard, slogging all life. So who decides all this? Why there is such difference? Correct? You can ask this question. Like we all choose these things. You all choose a job. You choose a wife or husband, spouse. You choose a car. Some things you are allowed to choose in life. But these things you don't choose. Did you choose your parents, all of you here? Did you choose a face cut? No. That means these things are awarded to you. We didn't choose our intelligence. These are awarded to us. It's not by chance. Like you see, for chemical laws, physical laws, thermodynamic laws, laws of maths, we have laws. In law of reflection, refraction, thermodynamics, everything. See, this is laws of mechanics. For every law, there has to be a lawmaker. So if these laws exist, then how then can be our birth, beauty, intelligence be random events? They also should have a law behind, which is called karmic theory. Karma theory. Karma theory means for every action, there is an equal and opposite reaction. And the last point, what type of life outlook that Vedic outlook or contemporary outlook brings for individuals and for the world? See, that type of life, Darwin's outlook, it leads to eat, drink and be merry philosophy. It actually makes people greedy. It just makes more and more money, more and more corruption, cutthroat competition, illicit behavior, all that. Because, see, many people may tell you that if my ancestors are apes, then monkeys are actually having dozens of partners. Therefore, in America, you find, many times people leave one partner and change to second, third, fourth, fifth, and so on. One American actress, I heard, she had 27 marriages she had, divorce and marriages, out of which four times she divorced the same person. So, why? Because if this is the script or the outlook they have, then anything is all right, you see. On the other hand, you find the Vedic outlook teaches you how to be harmonized with nature, who is mother, and God, who is father. How to align with mother and father, nature and God. We have one lecture called Man, Nature and God. Nature is mother, God is father, we are children. So, how we should not exploit the environment. how we should align with God's laws, and we are like these children. We should live a proper life. You see, life of morality, satisfaction, honesty and everything. So we can have God-centered communities with people having love, trust and mutual respect for each other. And that is actually Vedic worldview. So, on what basis is the Atma awarded different bodies? Krishna says that. Whatever state of being you remember at the time of leaving the body, that body you attain. And what you will remember at the time of death is a cumulative total of how you acted in life. If somebody acts against God's laws and commits all kinds of sinful activities, they become degraded to animal bodies. So from human one can become an animal also. Like here you see, somebody is eating flesh and drinking blood, he's developing a tiger consciousness, although he's a human. Somebody is sleeping all day, like polar bear sleeps 6 months in a year. Do you know that? Like in IIT, one of my friends slept on Friday and got up on Sunday, after the exams were over. I asked him, how can he do that? He said, I was a little hungry, so I got up, he said. So, somebody who sleeps too much, you see, they are preparing a polar bear consciousness. Here somebody is exposing the body, you know, just like a tree exposes the body. Tree doesn't wear any dress, it's like exposing. So in this way, everybody is preparing a certain type of consciousness. If you engage in the sinful activities, this type of meat eating, gambling, intoxication, illicit sex and all these things, and the result is, one is degrading to lower forms. See, the soul from a human body is going into the pig's body or a dog's body. By dint of their activities, they are preparing their bodily machine, next machine. You choose it by your actions. On the other hand, if somebody is doing austerity, sacrifice, chanting, cultivation of wisdom, associating with saintly people, then they are elevating, going above, gradually back to kingdom of God. So in this way there is a meaning. See, this is a poem I wrote. It's a very beautiful rhythmic poem. You can sing along with me, if you can. Some people say, we are God, you are God, everybody is God. That's another philosophy in India. Therefore, it's nullified here. I am a tiny jiva, not the ultimate God, but a tiny part and parcel, servant of the Lord, living Lord's company, forced to be born in pain, in the world filled with agony, again and again. Krishna is my Lord, the source of all existence. His form is imperishable, full of six opulences. Six opulences are all beauty, all knowledge, all fame, all strength, all riches, all renunciation. Six opulences. He pays a visit to this world out of his own sweet will, to please and protect his devotees and punish the evil. I am only Brahman, but Krishna is Parabrahman. My power is limited, his potencies are unlimited. I can make a swimming pool, God creates oceans. I can fly a rocket, but Lord floats huge planets. I can invent a dome light, but God creates moonlight. We make ordinary dolls, but the Lord made us all. Finished. Thank you. So, I had summarized it all because I know the time is very short. So, I put the 7 points, Vedic worldview and the Darwinian worldview, which the modern school textbooks teach. I have you can think of these things. Ramba Prabhu, I will tell him to upload this PPT also in our YouTube site. You can put it in case they want to refer it leisurely. And in case you want to cross-question me based on this, you are welcome. I have given my email address also there, correct? You can... we uploaded the previous debate clips. Similarly, we will upload this debate clips also, so you all can see it. And in case you wish to ask further questions, you can write mail to me. But we have a very beautiful course called Discover Yourself, which is a 4-session course. You have the passes with you?
Yeah.
Yeah, we have the passes. You can just show the passes, people.
Also, if you can talk about the participants.
I have written and kept ready. Actually, I am supposed to speak a few words about each of your performance. The first one I heard was Shreyas. Shreyas I heard first. I found both Shreyas and Ajay very well read. They have studied many books and many articles, and the content was amazing. It was. Shreyas quoted many interesting things. And One special thing I liked with Shreyas's refutation was he exactly understood the point of the opponents and he gave answers. For example, he said love for living things, even animals can talk and express their love, whether it's an elephant or a whale. That is a good point. It's a fact actually. Animals also express affection to their offsprings. He answered the 2-3 of the points made by the opposite opponents. That was very nice. He gave several historical accounts of the development of life also with very precise numbers and everything. Content was exhaustive, very nice. Understanding was also good. I found the presentations of all the 4 candidates today very extraordinary. They are all already, they seem to be trained in speaking debates before. You are trained in that?
I just wanted to quote in that we in India have a history of debate.
Yes.
So every point has to be debated.
Correct.
As read about Shankaracharya.
Correct.
That is debating people.
Correct.
To this point.
Correct.
So whichever.
That's a philosophical war. Yeah, correct.
So whichever word you feel comfortable with, I was comfortable with both. So
correct.
I'm actually.
Thank you for citing this because we are having difficulty getting on this side people also.
It's okay because in my case, I feel that in both things should work together.
Correct.
So even they asked if you want to speak from that point of view, yes. I was okay.
Yes.
So,
yeah, so it was good. It came out very good. Then we had Ajay Aditya this side. Ajay Aditya, he spoke about. He had very good, very specific material. He quoted the wild cow and the beef cow, and the breeding things. He showed birds and tortoises, natural selection versus human breeding. He quoted from. Darwin very well about primordial Miller experiment. So I found within the short time that we gave them, just about 3 or 4 minutes, multiple things were brought up. I liked his refutation part also. He very clearly differentiated between what is the difference between a science and a scientist. Science gives facts, but scientists can have opinions and they can have arguments. And also he said about ape-like ancestors. And also he told about how we should not misunderstand the word theory. He got a definition from the dictionary. So I like the style of our presenters today, that they are very thoughtful and they are very sharp in catching the points of the opponents and presenting. Then we had Avani Gupta madam. She brought up one very vital point she brought, which is about physical, emotional, social and spiritual life. If somebody has a very good, if somebody is doing very good yogasanas, pranayama and keeping the body fit and healthy, it's only 1/4 of your life. You are considered a good animal. But if you are very good in your field of profession by keeping abreast of the knowledge which is happening in the world around you and you are keeping up to date, then you are called very competent. So you are called a good craftsman. And if somebody is very good in giving time for wife, children and friend circle and keeps a good friendship with everybody, then he's called a good friend. And if somebody is able to sit and meditate on God and study Gita, Bhagavat and everything, and they are able to connect with God very nicely through prayer, they are called good saint. So good animal, good craftsman, good friend and good saint, it makes you a complete human being. Then you are a complete human being. So she was telling that animals have a good physique and they eat well, sleep well, mate well and they do all that, but they don't have more developed social and spiritual platforms. That was a very powerful point on her side of the debate. That was good. Yeah. And also she was quoting one point about not finding links between apes and humans. There are no reliable links. I also showed you one video about dismissed, several things were dismissed. They are always finding that although the monkeys look different from one another, their skulls look different, ultimately monkeys remain monkeys only. Humans are always humans and monkeys and humans have coexisted. Actually chimpanzees There is an article if you want, whether a chimpanzee can type in a typewriter. Chetan was written that article. It cannot type anything sensible. No? So although it can do some dozen catching a stick over the head, whirling and things like that, it hardly comes anywhere close to a human being. Huh? Human beings' cognition and human beings' discretion, human beings' analysis ability, all these things nowhere you will find. Huh? And then Creator did creation for a purpose, she said. Probably she ran out of time at that time, otherwise given time she would have elaborated more on how the creation is with a purpose, it's not without a purpose. I liked the solid valuable points that she made in her side. And she threw a couple of questions to her opponents also towards the end. It was nice. And Pranav quoted from Bhagavad Gita. Pranav seems to be learned in Bhagavad Gita. He quoted a Bhagavad Gita shloka and also he said about how the sages were advanced enough to see things by meditation. Like how did the sages find out what's happening in a mother's womb? You know, first night, first month, second month, third month. They have written for all the 9 months. No? Now Cunningham textbook of anatomy, you compare it with what the sages have written, it's exactly matching in Bhagavatam. How they did that? So he said that the sages could actually see through their third eye, through their meditation. And then he says that sages could actually experience it, but Darwin's was just a theory. So he wanted to defeat Darwin, so he made that point. So he was throwing a question to the opponents. What is the power which is evolving, making the evolution happen from one to another? Basically, he wanted to highlight the point that there is some superior power beyond everything which is making things happen. Like there are various proofs for God. One proof is called henological approach. You know, what is henological? Henological means unity of all unities. For example, in a home, the wife and the children, they connect with the man who is actually, you know, they all are obedient to the man, and the man supplies them grocery and money and everything. In a college, you see teachers and students, they obey the principal, and the principal gives teachers a salary and the students the education and everything. Similarly, in a country, all of us salute Narendra Modi ji, Prime Minister of the country, and Prime Minister gives back so much benefit to the people of India. Similarly, in our body, if you see, all the parts of the body cooperate to give food to the belly. And the legs are walking to hotel, and the hand is picking up the food, eyes are watching, nose is smelling, and teeth is crushing, tongue is tasting, but ultimately the belly is served. But the belly gives nourishment to all over the body, correct now? So in this way you find, you all are able to observe two direction movement, all the senses serve the belly, and the belly serves all the senses. Similarly, all of us are jivas, we serve one God who is unity of all unities, and He serves all of us back by providing us for our food, our clothing, our shelter, everything. So his question was, who is the power who is making things happen? So very brilliant arguments, and although we got only four candidates, two on each side today, I found my experience very extraordinary today. I want to congratulate all. We have the prizes packed ready, you can bring it. So I had a tough time deciding the prizes and who should be given, but based on the content and understanding and presentation, I had to give almost equal marks to all. It was very smart presentation they gave, but some of them had more content than the others, and very punching content. So here are the prizes. First, second prize. You have 2 second prizes. Okay, you get the first second prize. 1 second prize you give here. And to give to Ajay Aditya. All of you give one applause, Ajay. Okay, yeah. So, and another second prize to Pranav Jungade. And the first prize was Shreyas Pawar. And the first prize for Avani Gupta. So, although I made first, second, there was only marginal difference between them. Between first and second, was very extraordinary presentation. I feel even if 5-6 batches came today on either side, these fellows would have won surely. I felt that was the way they presented. Very well prepared, yeah. So thank you all very much. You can announce about that device. Whatever notes I am showing you, I will put it all in the YouTube. We can put doc file also. You can put, okay.
Hare Krishna. Let's thank our today's guest for evaluating and giving us so much knowledge in such a short time. There is a traditional style in which we typically thank someone in ISKCON, and let's try that.